And now, if you would, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Merciful and loving God, the heavens abound with examples of your glory. Heavenly bodies align perfectly to create a spectacular solar eclipse. Our planet, moon, and sun arranged according to your amazing plan. They are evidence of a world in constant motion. Warm summer breezes give gentle embraces as they wrestle tree leaves. Continuous rhythmic waves send soothing sounds as they play in the sand. Colorful aromatic flowers delight our senses as they blanket the earth. We thank you for the beauty and wonders of the world. Our fallen world, though, is not always gentle, soothing, or aromatic. Strong winds and tornadoes can destroy homes and uproot trees. Life-giving water can become a destructive force as floodwaters rise. Lord, we look to you for support as recovery in these areas continues. Natural disasters can be significant magnitude and have far-reaching effects. Cradle affected families and friends in your loving arms, that they may be comforted and strengthened by your presence. Guide us to provide assistance in your name. When tragedy strikes, we can feel overwhelmed. Even small matters can appear like monsters in the closet. Give us the fortitude to handle issues that seem insurmountable, that we keep our monsters in the closet. Hear us now as we humbly and silently pray, placing our gratitude, monsters, and requests at your feet. Lord, we worship you as our Heavenly Father, giving us wisdom and guiding our relationships. We remember the teachings of your Son, Jesus, recalling the words he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Genesis 1, 20 through 25. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind, and God saw that it was good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
So it's the end of our movie series, going from real to real. And if you've been following the series, and for those of you who watched every movie and tried to figure out what we were going to preach on, thank you so much for doing that. And if you would like to hear any of the ones that we did on the animated classics or on sports classics or on epic movies, you can go to our website and get a chance to listen to each of those. And if you're not aware, we had voted on these movies and what we're going to preach on back in March. So this congregation selected all of these movies. Now, I think there was some ballot box stuffing going on, because if you can explain to me what the Christian message is in this movie.
This size. He is sheer brute force. While Kong is a thinking animal, his brain is considerably larger, about 10 times the size of this gorilla's skull. Being instinctive rivals, there is no doubt that they will attempt to destroy one another.
King Kong versus Godzilla, heading for their colossal collision. Shattering every obstacle that stands between them in the most fantastic rampage of annihilation ever recorded on film. See King Kong stamp Tokyo into the ground, holding a beautiful girl in his grasp. See Godzilla destroy an entire army. See King Kong trapped by the blazing barrier of 1 billion volts. But nothing, nobody can stop the great showdown when King Kong and Godzilla meet to fight for survival of the fittest.
Those poor people living in those towns. Watching that, you can see why it's included, right? It's epic. I mean, that's an epic battle. And the other thing I realized when I was watching this movie, it is the only movie in our entire series where God is in the title. Godzilla. All right, so you have to love it. It's a 1962 film originally. And it was the third time Godzilla was featured in a movie. But it's the first time Godzilla and King Kong were in the same movie. Now, technology was changing. It was also the first time it was in color. And it was in widescreen, so you get the full effect. Now, we have it running in the community room. Yes, this church owns a copy of King Kong versus Godzilla. And so you can go out there and watch parts of it, and it's the American version of it. And what they did is they spliced in these scenes, and you'll know right where they spliced them in. And they dubbed it, and I can't do that well, or I would have done that as part of the sermon. You know, I would have said six. But I didn't do that because I don't know how. But when they released it in 1963, this was the trailer that Universal Pictures used. Now, I do have to share some vital statistics about the two main characters, because these are things you may not know. Godzilla is over 50 meters tall. See, they use the metric system for part of how they measure monsters. Because then, when they look at his weight, he's over 40 million pounds. So keep that in mind. Now, how many remember the first movie or have ever seen the first movie of King Kong with Fay Wray? Please hold your hands up. If you think back to that movie, King Kong wasn't quite that large. So something happened to him between that movie and this movie. Maybe he ate the berries that were growing on that island or he was on steroids. I'm not quite sure which. But he is taller and heavier in this movie. He is now 45 meters tall, and he weighs 50 million pounds. So, when that epic battle takes place, you have 90 million pounds going at it. That's going to rock some worlds, I think. And what we look at this and we wonder, okay, what has this got to do with anything related to Scripture and our faith? Well, I'm going to start with the obvious. There are biblical monsters. If you're not aware of this, you actually heard it in our opening scripture. It said God created sea monsters. And there's also other places in the Bible where there's monsters referred to. You can find it in Job, and there's two different places there in Job 40 and 41. Those two chapters talk about monsters, and I'll be covering those in just a moment. You can look at Psalm 104, Psalm 148, and if you're looking at the New Testament and you look at Revelation, the monsters are there, the dragons there, and then the beasts that come to claim the earth, and they fail to do so, and that's in chapters 12, 13, and in other places. But why monsters? I mean, why would God create monsters? So when we look at the book of Job, this is a watercolor that I found from William Blake. And I'm going to point out, God's at the top here, and Job and his friends are here complaining and trying to figure out why things are so bad for Job. And then below them, you see Behemoth, who's the creature right here. And then Leviathan is right here. That's a land creature and the sea creature. And how this comes about is Job's in a rough spot. He's lost everything. His friends are there trying to help him out. And God finally gets tired of the way they're approaching it, and he starts questioning Job and challenging Job. And so Job is sitting there, and God says to him, "Were you there when I made the earth and created everything?" Of course not. Job's not God. And then God does a little twist. He goes, "All right, I'll make it easier for you. Can you control these two monsters I created? That's all you have to do. Do you think you can pull that off?" And what the book of Job goes to do is it then describes these monsters in a lot more detail than we saw in Genesis. And Job 40, verses 15 through 18, describes the land beast, Leviathan, in this detail. I'm going to read it to you. "It eats grass like an ox. Its strength is in its loins and its power in the muscles of its belly. It makes its tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are knit together. Its bones are tubes of bronze, its limbs like bars of iron." I don't think you'd want to come up against that monster on your own. So, but it doesn't stop there. God goes on to talk about the other creature, Leviathan, the sea creature. And what I want to read is just a partial description of this monster, and it's in chapter 41, verses 18 through 21. So I want you to listen carefully and tell me what image this brings to mind. "Its sneezes flash forth light, and its eyes are like the eyelids of the dawn. From its mouth go flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap out. Out of its nostrils comes smoke, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. Its breath kindles coals, and a flame comes out of its mouth." What did you hear there? What creature does that bring to mind? What monster? Godzilla. So we thought we had something new here, right? This is right out of the Bible. Well, so Kong, if you look at the two parts I just read, Kong is Behemoth. He's the land animal. Godzilla is Leviathan, the sea animal. But why are there even monsters in the Bible? I mean, God created everything. And it said in Genesis, everything was good. Why would monsters be included in creation? Is it to scare us? Because it can do that. Is it to show God's power? Because clearly it does that. Is it for balance, good and evil? Maybe it's for all of these reasons. In the Jewish Apocrypha and in the second century before Christ, Book of Enoch, these two monsters are spoken about. Behemoth is the unconquerable monster of the land, and Leviathan is the unconquerable monster of the water. But there's a third character that doesn't get mentioned in our Bible, and that's Ziz. Now, Ziz is the primordial monster of the sky. Land, sea, and sky. Now, according to this text, Leviathan lives in the abyss, very deep. while Behemoth, the land monster, lives in invisible desert east of the Garden of Eden. Can't see him. He's hiding. And in this legend, these two creatures will battle at the end of time. They will interlock with one another and engage in combat. With his horns, the behemoth will gore with strength. The fish Leviathan will leap to meet him with his fins with power. But here's something different that happens. Their creator will approach them with his mighty sword and slay them both. Nothing is too powerful for God. Now, I do want to share, because obviously King Kong versus Godzilla, the flying creatures are not in this movie, but there are flying monsters in the Godzilla movies. You can find them later on. I just want to mention a couple. Anybody remember Ghidra, the three-headed monster? Ghidra can fly. Now, Ghidra is 100 meters long, 150-meter wingspan, and he weighs 60 million pounds. So he can go against Godzilla. But my favorite character, my favorite flying character of all time in the Godzilla genre, Mothra. Mothra is a giant moth, if you haven't figured it out by the name. Mothra is 80 meters long, has a 250-meter wingspan, weighs 30 million pounds, and can spit out this web that creates a cocoon and covers Godzilla. If you haven't seen that movie, don't. It is that bad, because that's the highlight. But as we look at Scripture, let's go back to Scripture. I mean, right in our Scripture today, it says, so God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, and God saw that it was good. God created everything. Everything. All the creatures that live in the water, in the air, and on the land. And God saw that it was good. So God even saw the monsters as good. Now, there's some question as to whether or not these are real monsters. I mean, is Leviathan, you know, something that truly was created? And is that where Jonah winds up in the whale? Is that really where Jonah winds up? Is something as large as Behemoth, is that on the land? Or are they just talking about an elephant, the largest creature of its kind? We don't know. And even if you look at it, some theologians say, well, they're just using it as an analogy and metaphors. They're saying that Leviathan is actually God talking about the water, Behemoth is God talking about the land, and Ziz is God talking about the air. We're not sure why the monsters are there, but they are. Scary stories are nothing new, right? Obviously, based on the tale I just told, they've been around for thousands of years. And they show up in these modern movies. I mean, if you look at the characters that were described in the story I read in the movie that you can go watch, it sounds really similar, and they're thousands of years apart. So there's nothing new that we've created here. Scary stories and monsters have been around for years. I mean, and you may remember when maybe you've had the opportunity to be around a campfire or down a basement when it's really dark. And you tell those scary stories. Everybody's got one. I could start talking about politicians. Yeah. Or technology. That's a scary story. But we're in church and it's Sunday, so I don't want to scare you. That's not my goal. I mean, those monsters we have out there, Bigfoot. Everybody knows who Bigfoot is, right? Sasquatch. There's pictures. I've seen it. And how about everybody's favorite Loch Ness monster, Nessie? They still haven't spotted Nessie yet, but Nessie's real. We all have these stories that we share, and they're designed to scare us. And for me, growing up, I dealt with the same thing, except I had something that, you know, the kids today don't have. I had Sir Graves Gasley and the ghoul. Anybody remember these two amazing people? Sir Graves, what he did for us is he made us see monsters and creatures in a less scary way. He was a vampire that came out during the day. So Twilight and that whole series, they got nothing on this guy. And he would show the movies and help us through them. The other guy, the ghoul, he was on late on Saturday nights. I know this because when, you know, mom would go out, that's what my brother and sister and I would do. We'd sit around and watch the ghoul. Now, the ghoul would show bad horror movies and make them worse, if that's even possible. And he also liked to blow things up. And he had a sidekick named Froggy. So these were my opportunity to look at scary things in a new way, and it took away some of that fear. I know they're fake. I mean, look at these monsters and creatures that have been around for years. On this slide, you can see there's Frankenstein. Oh, and then the Bride of Frankenstein with the gray hair on the sides. Always a good look. You have the creature from the Black Lagoon. Everybody know this guy? The Invisible Man, Claude Rains. And of course, one of my favorites is the Phantom of the Opera before Andrew Lloyd Webber got a hold of him and made him sing. I know they're all fake. I know they're there just to give us a chance to be scared. They're just actors and actresses. They're just people like us. Unfortunately, the monsters in the real world are a lot scarier than those. Depression, stress, pain, solitude, sorrow. These are monsters that can touch all of our lives. And they can strike fear in our hearts. But they don't have to keep us there. There is a way to overcome them. It's through the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how that can work, because how can we possibly have that power? Well, in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, in chapter 13, talks about Moses sending out spies into the promised land. So then that way they can scope it out and see if they should enter it as God has told them to. Well, the majority of the spies come back and say, that land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them. They put the fear in every Israelite. Well, not every, but enough of them. Because there were two of the spies that came back and said, no, 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 they got it wrong. God told us we're to enter this land. And we believe God. And we have hope. And we know that we will overcome. Now, unfortunately, the fear won out. And they decided not to enter the promised land. So yet again, God said, okay, I'm going to just have to let you wander a little while longer till this generation is gone because you lack faith in God. In Mark chapter 5, here we have a man possessed by so many demons that chains cannot hold him. He breaks away. He is living in a graveyard, and anyone who comes near him, no matter how many they send to try to overpower him, they can't do it until one man comes. One man comes with the power to overcome these demons, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus freed the man from his demons. He gave him peace, which is something we all need. And the demons bowed down to Christ and were banished. Okay, so that's great. God can do it and Jesus can do it. Well, they're both God. That's good. What about us? Well, in Matthew, Jesus sends out the disciples to go to the people of Israel and preach, share the good news. One of the specific tasks they were given was to drive out demons. In the name of God, they were to drive out demons. So what Jesus did here is he shared that power with them. So the power is not limited to Christ alone. And it can come to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason that the demons flee. It's because Jesus is God. Even the demons know this. That's from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. The demons fear hope, they fear love, they fear light, because they live in the darkness. They look to separate us from Christ. They try to confuse us, to make us afraid. Jesus is the way we can overcome all these demons. See, what we can do is make them small and put them under our control, under God's control, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And by that trust, we can eliminate the demons and the monsters and their power over us. And I'll show you a visual of how to do that. This is a picture of King Kong with the director. Now, I know he wasn't scary when he was big, but he's even less scary now, right? Brought him down to size, shrunk him down to a manageable presence. I also want to point out the director is smoking a cigarette here. And the reason I point that out is because when I show you the next slide, this guy's smoking. So clearly it's a different era, right? That's one of the monsters. They just didn't realize it was a monster. But here's the Godzilla. Doesn't look so scary now. In fact, if you look real close right here, you see the wires? You can't see those? They're right here. Well, later on, come back. The text will show them to you. So these are small creatures. They're not monsters. We can overcome them. On the day the Lord, with his cruel and great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will kill the dragon that is in the sea. Isaiah tells us that. We have nothing to fear. And I mentioned death. Well, I have some sad news to share regarding a death, and that is Haro Nakajima. He played the original Godzilla in 1954. He died on August 7th, 2017. And for years, they would not release who was in that suit and who played Godzilla. And you can see, up till his death, Godzilla played a big part of his life, but I don't think that monster scared him at all. And if these don't give you enough ways to overcome those monsters, I can use a movie reference that'll help you. There's one other way you can always overcome monsters. You can just turn to Disney. And those monsters in your closet and under your bed become a lot less scary when you look at them as animated characters in a Disney classic. And this is Monsters University. You can also watch the original Monsters, Inc. But that's another way that it puts them in perspective. They're not scary unless we make them scary. Because you see, God created everything, and God saw that it was good. God made each one of us, and he saw that it was good. You see, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that I'm made in God's image, and God sees it as good. Because see, those monsters are always there, always present, always trying to overtake us. So what I want you to do this week, I have a challenge for you. This is a pretty big one. And that is, one of those monsters in your life, start doing what you need to do to overcome it. That may be finding another person to share it with and putting that monster in the light and speaking it out loud. It may be praying, because prayer works. It may be digging deeper into Scripture and finding those passages that tell us that God can overcome the monsters. And we need to believe that. God's word is there for us. God's love is there for us. We're not in this alone. And let me tell you something. You are worth the effort. You see, we're made in God's image. And God sees that it is good. As I said, this brings our summer series on movies to an end. It has been a joy and a treat to try to figure out how to present them, and I want to thank you for that opportunity. And now I'd like you to join me in prayer. Creator God, all things came into being through your actions. Some part of your creation, they're scary, and we tremble in fear. You sent Jesus to put monsters in their place. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do the same. May it be so. Amen.